Well, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we're going to be this morning, 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look specifically at verses 12 through 19. I don't know if y'all could hear these students singing over here this morning. And guys, I just want to tell you, don't ever let your enthusiasm go away. Sometimes we as adults, we kind of get set in our ways and we kind of get old and crabby. Don't let that happen to you, okay? And I just want to say one thing, too, about our youth group, our young people. You know, a lot of times we think of the youth group being the church of the future. Guys, you're not the church of the future. You're the church right now. The church right now. I just want to encourage you with that. What a blessing it is to hear y'all's enthusiasm and the way you sing. And I know that comes from your love for Jesus. And it's just so wonderful to hear. But today we're going to focus on the truths of the resurrection. Obviously today is Resurrection Sunday, and we want to focus upon that. I heard a guy tell me one time, a very wise person, say that, listen, a lot of times when you're a pastor and it's Easter Sunday and you know extra people are going to be here, you want to try to be cute and all that. He said, just preach the gospel. That's what people need to hear. That's what people want to hear, is the truth of the gospel and the resurrection. And we know that the resurrection obviously is central to our beliefs as Christians. In fact, let's see if this thing is going to work here. Maybe not. Go ahead and go to that next slide there. It's not working for whatever reason. But Billy Graham once told Time magazine that if I were an enemy of Christianity, I would aim right at the resurrection because that is the heart of Christianity. And he's exactly right. Because the resurrection is the foundation of our faith. Amen? It's the foundation of our faith. And now, we know throughout history there have been individuals who have tried to disprove Jesus' resurrection. I read of one individual who said the tales of the embalmment, entombment, and resurrection were latter-day wishful thinking. Instead, Jesus' corpse went away of all the abandoned criminals' bodies. It was probably barely covered with dirt, vulnerable to the wild dogs that roamed the wasteland of the execution grounds. And I thought, man, that's an awful thing to say about Jesus. But that is some people's mentality. But I want to ask you a question. What if someone really did find bones in Jesus' shallow grave? What would happen there? What would that mean to us? What would become of our Christian faith? Why would it even matter to us? Well, I want us to take a look at that. But before we read our scripture this morning, I want us to talk about the meaning of the resurrection. And because we need to understand what the resurrection means. Now, let's pretend for a minute that you're speaking with someone who had never heard the story of Jesus, okay? So just envision in your mind, you're speaking to someone, they've never heard the story of Jesus and his resurrection, and you said to that person, Jesus rose from the dead. Now that's kind of a weird statement to make because typically people don't wake up from being dead. And you said to that person, Jesus rose from the dead, and they would probably look at you like a cow looking at a new gate, as we say in Texas. You know, they would just have this bewildered look on their face. How would you describe Jesus' resurrection? You'd probably say something like, Jesus died on Friday afternoon and on Sunday morning, he physically and he literally came back to life. Because you're wanting to describe exactly what happened in that situation. And so you would probably say something like that. You see, because we should say things like that. Because Jesus did rise physically. He wasn't some kind of ghost or spirit or anything like that. And he rose literally because it actually happened. It could be verified by eyewitness accounts. It wasn't just some kind of a fable or story that somebody has made up. It actually happened. Now, we understand in the Bible that there are other instances where people came back to life. I mean, Jesus raised several people from the dead. Probably the most well-known person is Lazarus, right? But there's a huge difference between those miracles and the miracle of Jesus' resurrection. Because Lazarus and the others, they were destined to die again, right? Jesus, having once experienced death and having victory over it, would never die again. In fact, he's seated at the right hand of the Father even now. He is alive. He was raised immortal. That means he still lives today. And all this matters a great deal, guys. It matters. First of all, it's what the Bible teaches, and that's a pretty good reason to teach it. But secondly, it's what the church has always taught. Since the church came into existence, this is what they focused on. This is what they taught. The early church in the New Testament had one sermon they preached over and over and over again, the resurrected Christ. And from that one sermon, thousands upon thousands became followers of Christ at that time because they preached the risen Jesus. So if you say that you're a follower of Christ and don't really believe in the resurrection, what you've done is you've placed yourself outside the boundaries of Christianity. Because true Christians believe that the tomb is empty today. I mean, when Thomas Jefferson wrote his version of the life of Christ, Thomas Jefferson was a good guy, but he got a lot of things wrong. He removed all mention of the supernatural, including the miracles of Christ, including the virgin birth, including the resurrection. This is how the Jefferson Bible ends. He said, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never a man yet laid. Yet there they laid Jesus and rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." And that's it. That's the end. According to Jefferson, Jesus died, they buried him, and there's no mention of the resurrection. I'm thinking, how sad could that be? Listen, if you don't believe in the resurrection, let me just lay one on you this morning. You are not a Christian. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. So why is the resurrection important? Why does it matter? The importance of the resurrection. In our passage this morning, some of the believers in the Corinthian church became confused because their loved ones died and they were buried. And there was evidently those people within them that were teaching that Christians who had died would not be raised from the dead at the rapture, which the Bible clearly teaches. And so Paul reminded them that the resurrection of believers depends on whether or not Jesus himself was raised from the dead. So let's read this scripture together and talk about it a little bit. So 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 19. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God, because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone." So why did Paul say the resurrection of Jesus is important? Why is this a thing? Because basically, he says four different things here in this passage, and I want to just focus on these real quickly. Basically, number one, he says, without the resurrection, our faith is worthless. Without the resurrection, Paul said, our faith is worthless. And the fact that our faith would be worthless means it has no value. You know, a lot of us probably have a lot of worthless junk at home, and we couldn't even get a penny out of it at a garage sale. We'd probably have to pay somebody to take it off our hands. It's worthless. It's not worth anything. And that's exactly what Paul said. If without the resurrection, our faith would be worthless. It would have no value. So if Jesus' resurrection didn't happen, then we are merely wasting our time, Paul says. If Jesus is still in the grave, then our message about Christ is useless. Because we preach a risen Savior. The early church preached a risen Savior. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then our preaching is worthless. It has no value. If Jesus is still in the grave, the only thing that we could say was, you know, Jesus was a pretty good guy. He helped the poor. He did some things. He seemed pretty loving toward people. It was for the little guy. And that's all we could say. That would be the extent, because there would be no hope beyond that. So Paul said, without the resurrection, our faith is worthless. He also said, without the resurrection, we're still dead in our sins. So if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our future with God, guys, has been taken away. We're still under condemnation for our sins. If Jesus died and was never raised, then his death did nothing, nothing to accomplish justification. The fact that God raised Jesus from the dead showed that he accepted Christ's sacrifice. It proved that Jesus was who he said he was, and that God accepted his sacrifice on the cross. Paul also said without the resurrection in verse 18 that we'll never see our loved ones again. You know, if Jesus' resurrection didn't happen, then really death is won out. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that after we die, there's nothing else. You close the casket and bury the person in the grave, and that's it. And there's no hope in that at all. If Jesus' resurrection didn't happen, then death is won out. There would be no hope beyond the grave, and we won't be able to be reunited with our loved ones. Just the cold ground to be buried in is the only thing that we'd have to look forward to. And then Paul said in verse 19 that without the resurrection, we should be pitied. It's a very strong word. And guys, as I thought about that, and I thought about my own life and how does that apply to me, I don't know about you, but I don't have time to follow a myth or some clever fable. We understand, guys, that life is too short and the stakes are too high. Because in fact, in Paul's day, and in our day too, but in Paul's day, Christianity often brought a person persecution or poverty, even death. There was no earthly value to becoming a follower of Christ. You were not going to climb the economic, social ladder because you were a Christian in that time. And we know of people today that are paying a heavy price for following Christ. Around the Middle East, especially, Christians are being beheaded and tortured. And our government does nothing about it. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, then these people are the most miserable people in the world. Why? Because they died and were tortured for no reason. If we have hope in Christ for this life only, then why even believe in him? Why believe in a faith that brought in our culture and many places around the world persecution and sorrow and death and separation? Without the resurrection, there would be no hope for a final judgment. There would be no justice brought upon those who do such things. There would be no final dwelling place with God. There would be nothing but death to look forward to. And in the end, the same is the same for everyone. So why not just live like everybody else, right? Why would we deny ourselves? Why would we be miserable if the other choices bring about the same result? But what is the truth of the matter? There are truths in the resurrection. And after Paul mentions what the results of no resurrection would be, he declares the truth of the resurrection in the first part of verse 20. Look there with me, if you will. I don't think we have it up on the screen, but look at verse 20. If we read a little bit further, he said, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." He declares the truth. He just got talking about if the resurrection didn't happen, then all this stuff. Now we can flip it around. We can reverse all the things that Paul just stated earlier. And the first one is our faith has worth. Again, if you look back through the early sermons in the book of Acts, the apostles' most important message was the proclamation of Jesus Christ, that he had been raised from the dead. And guys, that is our most important message to the world today. Listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, as he said, again, like I said earlier, we would have no authority to proclaim the gospel. Why would the world believe in something that didn't happen? Why would we preach something that was only a story? But the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead means that our faith has value and that Jesus is who he said he was. Amen? So guys, our faith has value. And our sins have been forgiven. Death came into the world as a result of the sin of Adam. He sinned against God and brought alienation from God and death and to all humanity. And sin results in death. Christ conquered death because he was sinless. And the curse upon mankind in the Garden of Eden brought about Adam's sin. As Stanley played it in Genesis 2:17, you will certainly die. And ever since then, we've seen that truth being played out. Paul mentioned in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ had no sin. Therefore, death had no power over him. Jesus' death was a voluntary sacrifice for our sin, your sin and my sin. And given his sinless perfection, his resurrection followed. Jesus said in John 10:17, he said, I lay down my life only to take it up again. Amen to that. I lay down my life only to take it up again. Adam's sin brought condemnation and death to all. However, Christ's sacrifice, his resurrection, defeated death by making a way for all of us to live with him eternally. So our sins have been forgiven. And guess what? We will see our loved ones again one day. Man, I look forward to that. You know, we're all grieving right now because Donna Thurston just passed away recently. If you don't know Donna, she was one of the most genuine people that you would ever meet. And her husband, Tom, who passed away about 9 years earlier, sweet people, longtime members of this church, would do anything you ask them to do for the kingdom. They prayed more and cried more and wept more for lost people probably than anybody else. And they valued the gospel and they understood. And Donna was, as you know, was getting older and her health was declining. Physically, she was not doing well. She had fallen recently. She was broke a couple of bones in her neck. I mean, she was hurting. And we grieve for this dear saint of God that we've lost, but we rejoice in what Donna has gained. And she's with her loved ones now. And guess what? We're going to see her again one day. One day we'll all be gathered before the throne of God, worshiping together with all of our loved ones. For eternity, I might add. There's not a time limit on it. It's going to last forever. Before the throne of God, we'll worship together. So one day we'll see our loved ones again, and then we will be envied. We will be envied. No matter what we face in life, no matter what difficulty we go through, let me just say, guys, Christ's resurrection gives us a hope for the future. Amen? And this is especially true for us today. Because listen, I know that all of us are going through uncertain times. We're all going through difficulty. We're all facing adversity. We're all facing obstacles. We sometimes face persecution. We're all going through uncertain times, but knowing that Jesus overcame sin and death by rising again gives us a hope that others don't have. No matter what happens in this life, we belong to the Lord. We are His. Amen? Even if we die, we live with Him forever. And let me just say, Easter is a glorious reminder that we have hope in Christ in spite of tragedy. But sadly, many don't have this hope. Last night I was looking over my sermon, and the Lord brought to my mind the people of South Asia. And it's probably because our resident missionary is a missionary there. Among the people of South Asia, there are 1.8 billion people who are lost and broken. There's only one IMB worker for every 5 million people there. They don't have the hope that you and I have. This is why we pray. This is why we pray for our missionaries on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday, we spend time praying for our missionaries, and we pray for the people of this world who are lost and broken, that their eyes would be open. This is why we pray. This is why we give. This is why we go. This is why we send long-term missionaries. This is why we need short-term trips, because it all matters. And people need the Lord, and they need to hear the gospel, and it's up to us to give it to them, to send it to them, to tell them about it. Because one day, guys, sadly, it will all be too late for them. And our faith will be envied by them, and they themselves will be pitied because they don't know Jesus. That's what came to my mind as I was reading that verse. They'll be separated from God forever. That's why Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's why it's important that we tell others. And we all have a part, guys. Obviously, not all of us can go, but all of us can pray. And I guarantee you, we can all give. But sometimes God calls us to go, and we need to go. I say all that in getting back to my original statement about the resurrection. The reason we can share the hope of Jesus with people who need to hear is because Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Amen. This makes our message valid. The hypothetical, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, those statements are pointless. To use a fancy word, they're moot. They don't matter. Yes, we as Christians will face difficulty, will be persecuted, but the fact of the resurrection changes everything. Because Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first of a great harvest of those who will be raised to life again. He's the first, and we're going to follow. And Jesus is the proof of our resurrection to eternal life. But maybe this morning, you don't have the promise of eternal life. Maybe you're unsure. Well, this morning, you can be sure. Here's how. To put your faith in Jesus, here's what you need to do. This is something that we talk about every week. The first thing you have to do is admit you're a sinner. That admission is for your own benefit. God already knows, right? He knows everything. It's for our own benefit. Admit you're a sinner. And then ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. This means that I was going this way and following this path, and now I'm going to go this way and follow this path. Turn away from that. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes, because we all do, and I do. And I'm thankful that God is a God of second chances. but ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. And then believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. You know, all the songs that we've sang today, the sermon I just preached, what we learned about in Sunday school, that's not just a fun little story that we talk about at Easter, and we can wrap it up in a package and feel good about ourselves. Jesus actually did live a sinless life. He was buried, but he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again victoriously over sin and death and hell. Amen? And we have to believe that. And then we have to commit our life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Sometimes we forget that part. And I'm going to tell you, whenever I share the gospel with somebody, I always emphasize that, because we can all know, yeah, Jesus died on the sins, he buried and rose again, all that. That's all great. That's just knowledge. That's just head stuff. But am I willing to make Jesus my Lord? We're all about the Savior part. You've died for my sins. I've been forgiven. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all great. But what about making Jesus your Lord? Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That means we die to what our desires and our will and our mindset is. I'm not saying don't make plans. I'm not saying don't plan for the future. You should do that. But what if God's plans are different than what your plans are? Are you willing to circumvent that and do what God says? Because Jesus was all about that. He said, listen, I only go where the Father tells me to go. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And I only do what the Father tells me to do. That's my focus. And we have to make Jesus our Savior and our Lord. Again, we don't get it perfect. We make mistakes. I haven't always listened the way that I should, and I'm sure you haven't either. But as best you can, commit your life to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Andrew's going to come and share a hymn of invitation with us, and we're going to sing a song together. Some of you this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart. You need to make a decision. Maybe to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. Maybe there's another decision that you need to make. This is why we have this opportunity to let God do work in our hearts and do business in our lives. It's not just so that we'll know when it's time to go home and start packing things up. It's so that God can do some things in our life right now. And he wants to do something in your life and in my life right now. There's some reason that you were here today. And I would ask you to respond to that. Maybe it's to become a follower of Christ for the very first time. Again, maybe it's another decision. I'll be here at the front. You can come talk with me and pray with me, or we can meet afterwards or sometime this week. But I would just plead with you, don't walk away from this place today without letting God do business in your heart and life. Because he wants to radically change you, and he wants to be your Lord and Savior. Let me pray for us, and then we'll let the Lord work. Father, we thank you today for the way you're working in our church, and Lord, for the message of the gospel, the power of salvation, the resurrected Christ. Father, we have so much to rejoice about today. And Lord, we did earlier, boy, when we were singing, Father, it was such a great time. I thank you for that. I thank you for our people here at Bogey Hills. Father, you've assembled so many people here together for such a time as this, and you desire so much to work through us and to use us for your glory and honor. I pray that we would recognize that and submit ourselves to you today. Lord, we invite you to have your way in us now. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, and we pray together.